We know that the gospel is the good news. It's a word that Rome used, eulogion. If it was the birth, that was first used about 7 before Christ. And one of the Caesars, it was his birthday, I can't remember his name now. And this word was coined, eulogion, good news. The Caesar, it's his birthday, we're going to have a good festival. And Paul borrows that word and say the eugenium, the really the good news, the quality good news, the God-like news is the gospel. There's nothing like this news. Where Jesus, that was a king, became a man, became a servant on this earth. And he came and he lived a life, a godly life. We look now, we will look at goodness now. But Jesus lived this life that God wants us to live. A life that is sinless. He went to the cross for us. He was a substitution for us there. He went to hell. He paid the sin. The wrath of God, which is more about content than judgment. It's more about a feeling, a hatred towards sin. It's not the judgment so much, but the content of the wrath of God is a feeling, an intense emotion against sin that came onto Jesus. And it was satisfied on Jesus. The wrath of God was satisfied on Jesus. And because of that, when we believe in the gospel, we are baptized into Jesus. We are baptized into his death, into his resurrection. We are seated, I said to one of the young guys this week, we are seated in heavenly places with Jesus. I was encouraging him to start his day like that. Identify with Jesus seated in heavenly places. This is who you are. It's not how you feel. This is who you are, Ephesians 2. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So guys, I can't get away from these two verses. I keep on coming back to them. God has given us this gift, the righteousness of God. It is against the righteousness of man. We have many ways that we are seeking righteousness. Even today, sitting here can be a way to seek righteousness. We must understand that righteousness is a gift that God gave us. What is righteousness? Righteousness is like a monetary value system. It's the only system, it's the only value system that will uphold one day when we stand before God in his tribunal. It's the only value system that's going to hold there. Our righteousness is not going to work. Anything we did to obtain righteousness is not going to work. Only this gift that he's giving freely, that can be acquired by faith, by believing in the gospel, only this will hold one day before God. This righteousness declares us innocent. You see why it's so powerful. It counts in a court of law. When you are declared innocent, the judge cannot judge you. Welcome, Michelle. There cannot be a judgment made against you. Because the judgment's been made already. It was made against Jesus. And when we believe in the gospel, we come under that protection. We are hidden within him. Okay, let's go to the... Okay, maybe just one thing there. The just shall live by faith. This is the way we live. We live from this righteousness. So, we cannot be Christians and do a lot of stuff to obtain God's approval. Doing stuff flows from the righteousness of God. It's not something we decide we want to do. That's flesh. What's the difference between flesh? A very simple test. If we do something and we want to get glory for it, that is flesh. Anything else is God. So a very simple test. I gave money to the poor today, so I'm feeling good. I'm going to tell Peter about it. It's flesh. It's not the righteousness of God. So it's all about the heart. And that's why he's saying the just shall live by faith, not by works, good deeds, but by faith in the gospel. Then the righteousness of God, this free gift, will work the works of God through us. Okay, let's start. Romans 2 verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. That is such a powerful verse. There is a law, a spiritual law, the law of judgment. Like there's a spiritual law, the law of forgiveness. There's a spiritual law, the law of judgment. Do not judge another. What is judge? How do we judge another? I first want to, before I get to that, let me just quickly look at that. Therefore. So the word therefore, I think it's dio in Greek. It talks about the first chapter from verse 18 to 32, where there was a character, what is the right word? God looked at the character of man of a foolish heart. We ran two sessions with a foolish heart, and God is describing the fruit of a foolish heart. It's from verse 1, verse 18 to 32. And based on that, he's saying now, therefore, thou art inexcusable. Apologia is the Greek word. God is saying you've got no excuse. Remember, he used that same word in chapter 1. He says, no man has got any excuse. He was talking to the whole world. Here he's only talking to the Jew. We'll get to that now. He's switching from the first chapter to the second chapter. He's moving from Gentiles to the Jew. So the first chapter, he said, nobody has got an excuse. Why? Because you have nature. You've got the stars. You've got the planets. You can look just at the medical science. You cannot look at a baby being born and not realize God is in this. So God is saying on the external, no one has got an excuse. But he's also saying on the internal, no one has got an excuse. Everyone has got a moral law built into him. You cannot murder something and murder another person, even a dog. You cannot murder an animal and not feel something. You've got to feel bad. There's a conscience written into your spirit man. So God is saying there's two things in chapter 1. Internal is the moral law. You are going to feel when you do stuff that is not according to God's principles. And external, you can see in nature that God is there. Now he's saying no one has got an excuse. Oh man, that oh man, the context is Jewish. Whosoever thou art that judges, for when in thou and judges another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judges doest the same thing. So he's basically saying, you Jews, you are saying we have the law. We received it on the mountain. So we easily say that the law is a problem. We don't need the law anymore because Jesus has come. Jesus has come for us to fulfill the law. How is the law fulfilled? By living it out of your heart. What is the first law that Moses received on that mountain? Do not worship any others. Don't have any other idols before me. Worship the Lord your God with all your heart. That sets the trend for the rest of the laws. Every law there. If you need to forgive, if you need not to judge, it should happen from the heart. God wants us to live from the heart. That's Romans 1 verse 17. The just shall live by faith. You live from the deepest recesses of your heart. So he's speaking to the Jews and saying you are judging people, other people, and saying they haven't got the law, therefore they are sinning. And Paul is saying to them, sin is sin. You are against the light. So it's the same sin. The Gentiles are against the light. The Jews are against the light. It's the same sin. The sins are differing. The one smokes, the other one doesn't smoke. So now the one that doesn't smoke He's judging the one that's smoking. So you see, the sins differ, but not the sin. The sin is the same. If you're against the light, it's the same sin. Thou condemnest thyself. I just want to get to the Greek words. We get to the closest translation possible. We spoke about Dio, therefore, verse 1. Judges is krino. The word here refers to censorious criticism and judgment. It refers to a derogatory appraisal of another's character, the forming of a judgment of his character. Condemn is kata krino. Kata is down. You're looking down. So it's almost being in, there's a term where you're looking down your nose at somebody. That judgment is looking down. Kata krino. You see how dangerous that is. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man? Again, he's speaking to the Jews, but we can apply it to ourselves as well. But he's not speaking to the Gentiles, he's speaking specifically to the Jews. O man, that judges them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. The Jew certainly thought in many cases that the privilege of his birth would of itself ensure his entrance into the kingdom. This is a very popular thing in church worldwide, where babies are born and the legacy, the thought is in the church that the legacy of the parents go over, the legacy, let's call it, of spirituality, goes over to the children. And that is against what we read just now in Romans 1 verse 16 and 17. He says the just shall live by faith. But to be just, to be declared innocent, we need to hear the gospel. We need to understand. You need to have reasoning. So you need to understand, and then you have to make a choice to believe. And then you receive the righteousness of God. So there can't be a legacy from parents. If my dad was spiritual and my dad was a pastor most of his life, I can't run on that legacy because he's now a pastor, he's spiritual, now I'm spiritual. Doesn't work like that. In God's eyes, everybody is the same. Therefore, we cannot judge. We come to God on the basement, on the basis of our faith. Like I say, we heard, somebody needs to preach, and then somebody needs to hear, and then you can believe the gospel. Then you can become saved, or you can become just. So that is the process. There's no legacy, and Paul is speaking into this and saying, you can't now say, Abram is our father, so we are blessed. He says, no, Abram had faith in God. You, as an individual, need to have faith in God. You can't work on Abram's faith. You understand all that? Go to the next slide, please. Matthew 3. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, this is now John the Baptist speaking, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abram as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abram. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Why are we talking about these things? Because we need to check ourselves daily against unforgiveness. Afrikaans, we talk about the little fossies. I think we read it this morning in Proverbs. Was it Proverbs 13? It was Solomon. It was the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. she's talking about, she's speaking to her husband to be Solomon and speaking about the little foxes in the vineyard. She said, let's not leave the little foxes in the vineyard. Let's deal with them. Because those little foxes can cause a lot of havoc. We're speaking about judgment this morning because it's so easy to creep in. Somebody will walk in here and I can smell him as he walks in. Should I treat him differently? He's hungry. He hasn't got a place to stay. He's probably sleeping on the streets. Should I offer him coffee and rust like I do with any one of you? That's where the tests come in. And that's why we have to check our hearts so that our hearts, like it says in the first chapter, doesn't become foolish and then becomes darkened. So that's why we're talking about this judgment. I think we read verse 4. Despises is kataphrenio, to think a thing down, to look down one's nose at a thing. Next slide, please. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. This is now God himself. The Lord passed before him, before Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. This is a good father, but never forget that his wrath is against sin, and sin will be judged. And the only thing that is saving us from that wrath is the gift of righteousness. Faith in the gospel and therefore receiving the gift of righteousness. That's a beautiful scripture. Next slide, please. Brothers, sons of the family of Abram, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of the salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. Who says the guy that doesn't walk, that walked in here, wasn't an angel? The Bible talks about that. I never know who will walk into this property. The one is hopeless. He'll ask me, if I die now, if I take my own life, will I go to hell? It can be an angel. We love everyone. We do not judge anybody. We don't respect. Respect means receiving face. We'll talk about that just now. Receiving faces. We don't differ or look at this face and treat this face different from that face. Okay, next slide, please. Trying to get back to Romans. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So the previous verse that we looked at, even though they were studying the Bible, that verse says they were studying the scriptures every Sunday. They did not recognize Jesus when he came. They did not recognize their Savior. So we need to study the scriptures through the Holy Spirit to understand God. That Exodus already, God said, this is who I am. I am gracious. I'm slow to anger. I'm quick to forgive. This is who God is. Okay, next slide. Okay, there we are back. Romans 2 verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Because it's the previous slide, you could easily see the differentiation. Can we quickly go back to the previous slide? Talking about the righteousness, there was an easy differentiation between our righteousness and God's, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own. So you see there's two righteousness. It's the one that we run on that will not last. And then there's the one that we receive as a gift. And that is the one that's the easy path. The other one is a difficult path. Okay, next slide, please. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. So there's the one group. They, by patient continuance in well-doing, they seek for glory, that's God's glory, and eventually our glory in this body, and honor and immortality. They will get eternal life. The other group, the other righteousness, unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, they will receive indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. These are heavy verses, but we need to understand in the church, we cannot do our own works. I listened to a guy last week, Friday. He said he planted against the Mozambique border 4 or 5 churches. And the Lord said to him, leave those churches, I'm not in that. It was his plans. He says, go to that city, that's where I want you. I don't want you to plant churches over there. You see, we've got plans. And we think it's righteousness. It's not. It's self-righteousness. It's self-glorification. Goodness, Christotis, is kindness. It's also benign. I was thinking of cancer, the word benign. So it's against this world. Goodness is against this world. This world is cancerous. Because the god of this world, G-O-D, small g, is Satan. And this world is cancerous. So we need to run on the goodness of God within this world. Forbearance, a holding back, a truce. I like the Vincent word studies. It says of this word forbearance, it is that forbearance or suspense of wrath, that truce with the sinner, which by no means implies that the wrath will not be executed at the last. Nay, involves that it certainly will, unless he be found under new conditions of repentance and obedience. That is God's righteousness. That new conditions is the gift of God's righteousness. That's what saves us from the wrath of God. Long-suffering, macrothumia, patience, slowness in avenging ways. Skip a little bit forward. Hardness. Talks about hardness of heart, it's sclerotis, it's obstinacy, a stubbornness, a hardness. Let's always have soft hearts. As we encounter life and life throws its difficulties at us, I need to drive to Pretoria just now. I'm sure there's going to be challenges on the highway. So I'm speaking to myself, let's have soft hearts. Let's not choose not to respond. If everybody respond in this world to everything, it'll be a very broken world. So let's choose not to respond and have soft hearts. Let's go to the next slide, please. Last slide. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. It's a big word, prosopulemsia, to receive face. God is saying, He's not receiving. Let's put that in another word. In other words, for there is not receiving of face in the presence of God. He doesn't make a difference between different faces. Only basis to come to God is by faith. That's why everyone is the same. There's a scripture that says Jew, Greek, slave, free man, barbarian, Scythian, all are the same in Christ Jesus. And yet we make differences. We will treat a Jew different from a Christian, or a Muslim different from a Christian. I worked for a Muslim for a long time, a very religious Muslim. And why would we treat them different? God calls us to love people, no matter their religion. There's a heart in there that God has created. And that heart can turn to Christ anytime. Many Muslims, hundreds of thousands at the moment, especially in Iran, is turning to Jesus. Jesus is appearing in their dreams. A Shiite Muslim doesn't easily come to the Lord. I cannot, as a Christian with no Middle Eastern context, can't speak to a Shiite Muslim. He will not even listen to me. You need to be able to read the Quran. You need to be able to read in Arabic to be a Shiite before they will listen. So what happens? Jesus climbs into their dreams and He starts speaking to them. Sometimes to the head of the mosques. And then he will start preaching Jesus, because Jesus has appeared to him. That whole mosque comes to the Lord then. So they won't say it. Iran won't say it. But there is a revival in the Christian church there. The mosques are running empty in Iran. For there is no receiving of faith in the presence of God. Thayer, it's another commentary. He says, partiality, the fault of one who, when called on to requite or to give judgment, has respect to the outward circumstances of men and not to their intrinsic merits, and so prefers as the more worthy one who is rich, highborn, or powerful to another who is destitute of such gifts. So Jesus also spoke about this. He said, when the rich man comes in, he will say, please come and sit here in front. And the poor must go and sit there at the back, where Gerda is sitting now, an Alper. The poor must sit there and the rich must sit here. Why? Why do we do those things? It's all flesh. The most precious thing of people is their heart. And that is what we fight for. Therefore, we love people. We don't judge them. If they're Muslim, atheist, we don't judge them. We love them. Even with our family, that is tough. Brothers that I have a sister that for a long time have not been following after the Lord. Should I judge her and say she's never going to follow Him? I keep on loving her. So let's come back to the topic. What was the topic of the sermon? Go back to the first slide. We're talking about hearts. This is who our God is. His goodness is leading us to repentance. And He's calling us to be good. Don't be judgmental. Be good. Even though you don't feel like it, even though it's uncomfortable, be good, because God is good to us, and His goodness through us will lead that next person to repentance. Thank you. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your encouragement, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you use your word to encourage us. So I pray, Lord, that you will give us boldness this week, that you will give us opportunities. Father, you You are the one that opened prophetic moments to us. That one person that we need to talk to, or that one person that we need to be good to or to love. Thank you, Father, for family, friends, work colleagues, fellow students, and thank you for the courage to connect and to connect through your Holy Spirit so that your kingdom can be extended. In Jesus' name, amen.